Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join with us in the dialogue and discussion on the issues that we carry out each and every day on this broadcast. Let me remind you, lest you forget it, the broadcast, this show, is designed around you, our listener. It's a Q&A format. We'll ask the questions. You can give the answers, or vice versa. We'd love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion. The very important subject, it is the theological, biblical worldview. It is a subject that is in the forefront of the news almost 24/7 in recent years. We're talking about the Middle East update. What's happening in the Middle East? Why should it concern us? What's happening in Jerusalem or Israel? Why should it concern us? Is Russia and China and other nations wanting to involve themselves in the political day-to-day operation of the nation of Israel? Why should Russia be concerned about little old Israel and what Israel is doing? Is there a connection between Russia, China, Iran, and the Middle East? Those are questions that I believe ought to be asked and demands to be answered by every concerned citizen in America today. And yet I find it appalling that so many Christians are not familiar with the eschatological, theological, prophetic text as to what the Bible says is taking place and shall continue to take place in the little postage stamp called Israel, otherwise known in the Bible as the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people. May I remind you, this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the explosion in the synagogue. We're going to talk about the drones that's being used over the Ukraine, that's being flown by Russia, that's made in Iran, and what Iran is doing in relationship to retaliation against Israel, and how Israel is responding to the Iranian attacks and the Arab conflict in the Middle East. How do we make sense out of all of this? I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the only way we can make sense out of what's happening in the Middle East, in fact, how we can make sense of what's happening globally, is to look at what is taking place through the prism of the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the Word of God that has no errors, no conflicts, no contradictions, ladies and gentlemen. So as we look at the issues each and every day on this broadcast, let me remind you, we do so based on the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He makes this statement: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, as we study the word, analyze the word, look at what God says about these world events, it will set us free because we'll know the truth. You will not find the truth on the Communist Network News. You'll not find the truth from Blinken, the Secretary of State that's just gotten back from the Middle East. You'll not find the truth out of Joseph Biden, that sits in the Oval Office illegally so, acting as president. You'll not find the truth there. You certainly will not find the truth from Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and any AOC or any of the others in the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Left, Democratic Party. So where do you find truth? The Word of God. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." Further, he makes the de facto statement in John 17:17. He says, "Thy word is truth." And then, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117:2, it says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." We can depend on the Word of God. When all else fails, we can still depend on the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is what is sought, should be sought, by every Christian, conservative, and patriot in America. But the secularist George Orwell said it this way: the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that occurring on an exponential basis each and every day in our nation, where truth is rejected. I watched some interviews this morning on Fox News where they were interviewing some of the movers and shakers in the now controlling party, the Republican Party, in the House of Representatives. And some of the anchors were chiseling away at what the leadership's doing. They're removing some of the socialist, Marxist, communist that's been on the Intelligence Committee. And as a result of the Republicans now removing those that ought not to have intelligence information, those that are literally against America, against the truth of the Constitution of the United States of America, against the constitutional republic that we call America, ought not to be on the Intelligence Committee. In fact, they ought not to be seated in Congress at all. But conflicts are there because they've been elected to those positions. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. That was the words of the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. And we find that looming more and more evident each and every day. And yet, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I find it appalling. I find it saddened. I find it absolutely earth-shattering, if you want to use some words that paint the picture pretty good, that most young Americans today say that there's no absolute truth. That's the latest research. According to the research, it says 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines his own version of truth. This is the reason you can listen to the Communist Network News on any of the channels. By the way, the Communist Network News, better known as CNN, they've lost viewership more now. It's been happening over the past 9 years, according to the research on that. But they've gotten to the lowest point in the history of CNN. The viewers are reduced dramatically each and every year. Now, I rejoice in that. I don't know about you, but I think something needs to come to a head where they make a decision. They're going to bring the news, or they're going to simply go off the air. Most other networks are the same thing, but more highly profiled in CNN News, Communist Network News. But ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warned of the death of truth in America. He said, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is real and true. Yet this is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in some of the Christian churches." That saddens me. We should be looking forward to and examining the events in the world based on the truth book. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, made the powerful statement. He says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." So I challenge you each and every day on this broadcast to love the truth, to live the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, and be willing to stand and defend the truth. When we elect people in office, local, state, and national, we need to elect those that are going to stand for truth. Contrary-wise, we find some. In fact, there's high-profile television ads and online ads and newspaper ads and mail-out ads today about two of the major candidates that's running for mayor in the city of Jacksonville, and it seems that both of them are absolute professional liars. And yet, each one is trying to undermine the other based on how big a lie, how big a cheat the other has been. And it just goes to show us, ladies and gentlemen, that there's a need for truth in our world today, and we need to seek truth. The only place to find truth is in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And then as we look at the world events through the prism of the truth book, it will become clear as to what is taking place in our world. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo, tools for time care, the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. There's an identifier, a benchmark, that will help you find Tools for Time. It's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing all of the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. We'd love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion today on what I think is a very, very important issue. It is the Middle East update. We're talking about what's happening in Israel, what's happening in Jerusalem, what's taking place with the squabble over who owns the land. By the way, that's a good question. May I just throw it out, and you can respond if you feel apt to do so, by dialing 904-831-0917. Who owns the land? I believe if we could resolve the problem of who owns the land in Israel, if we could resolve that, it would resolve the issues that are the peripheral issues around it. All the battle and all of the fighting that's taking place is the battle for the land. That little postage stamp that's called Israel, it's a battle for that. But ladies and gentlemen, as you study the scripture, you'll find that that postage stamp called Israel has never been the size of property, the land, that God promised the children of Israel back in the scripture. Go back to the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 13, Genesis 15, Genesis 17, and I could go on and on and on where God promised the land. And it comes to culmination and a little clarification when you turn to the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, verse 3 and following, where God told Joshua when after Moses had died, he says, now Joshua, I want you to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. I want you to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And this is what God said to Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. By the way, it's a restatement found in Deuteronomy 11:24. It's a restatement of what is found in Genesis chapter 13, Genesis chapter 15. Verse 4 then says, from the wilderness, listen to this, this is the landmass that God promised the nation of Israel. The landmass that is given from God to Israel. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, that is the Mediterranean Sea, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee, and all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee, etc., etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, you look at the landmass there, you'll find that Israel is relegated to a little postage stamp in comparison to what God gave them. And yet there is a battle today over the land. You can find all the excuses in the world. You can find all of the rational, irrational reasoning that the Arab jihadists want to bring about in the claiming of the land. The land was basically under the domination of the Ottomans until the time that it was given to the nation of Israel, reinstituted nation. Nation of Israel is the only nation that was in diaspora, that is scattered on the four corners of the earth, for 2,500 years and then reinstituted as a nation May 15, 1948. And that May 15, 1948 settlement gave them simply a postage stamp of what God had initially given them. And yet the Arabs were not claiming the land. The Arabs did not want the land. The Islamic jihadists did not want to stay in what is now the nation of Israel. It was filled with just simply tumbling weeds and dry desert arid land that had no value. They did not want it. But after the Jewish people came back in and started irrigating the property, setting it up so that it would grow crops. They have harvest time 3 and 4 times a year in Israel because of what they have done in cultivating and preparing and protecting the land. Ladies and gentlemen, what we see taking place today is the fulfillment of the biblical text. Fulfillment of the biblical text. In Matthew 24:6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumblings, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Ladies and gentlemen, we see the prophetic text, the Word of God, leaping off the pages. I've said before, and at the risk of redundancy, may I say again, you can take a globe, close your eyes, spin it, put your finger on the globe, and some place on that globe where your finger lands, there's some type of conflict going on. It's a global thing. Wars and rumblings. The word rumors means rumblings of wars. We find the rumblings of wars, ladies and gentlemen, each and every day. It clearly says today we see this prophecy clearly taking place. We see the beginning of the World War III, as I've called it, and it's been taking place for over a year. Listen very carefully at some of the nexus, some of the connectivities, connections of the dots. Ukraine produced and exported about 60% of the world's wheat. Russia wants the Black Sea seaports, import-export points for Ukraine. If you'll notice the skirmish that's been taking place, the battle for over a year, they have basically succeeded in taking the eastern portion of the Ukraine and the southern portion of the Ukraine, which borders the Black Sea, which gives them import and export capabilities. Russia wants that capability. Russia wants that availability. Russia wants to have that import-export capability there. But ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, the conflict that we see happen in the Ukraine is the spark for World War III. Now, how do I make that connection? Why do I say that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, we're already watching hundreds, if not thousands, of Ukrainian Jews leaving Ukraine, rushing into other parts of the European Union, and many of them filtering back into Israel. Israel is now, ladies and gentlemen, basically in a position that Russia has their crosshairs of their weaponry focused on Israel. Why is that so? And we'll talk about this further in the broadcast today. The very dangerous, destructive drones that Russia is using flying over Ukraine are made in Iran. Iran is on the fast track, and they have been for about 10 years, developing the nuclear weapons. In fact, I believe they already have nuclear capability to be launched at their desire. But ladies and gentlemen, America's allowed it to take place. America, through the Biden administration, through the Obama administration, they have allowed it to take place. And ladies and gentlemen, we find now, and we'll talk about this further also in the broadcast, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, has said, we will do anything, we will do everything necessary to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. So as a result of some of the things that's taken place in recent months, promulgating out of Israel against Iran to do that very thing, we find Russia is upset. Russia's been making demands on the leadership in Israel. Israel has said no. Russia is now at a basic standoff position of challenging Israel, because Israel is going against Iran, because Iran wants to wipe Israel off the map. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the jihadists, the Islamic jihadists, the Arabs, have been saying for centuries that Israel ought not to exist. The Jewish people ought not to exist. They say they will shove them into the Great Sea, speaking of the Mediterranean. The heartbeat's desire for the Arabs is simply to destroy the nation of Israel, all Jewish people. I believe I have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you very much for your program. Thank you for the truth that you speak on your program. I like that latest comment that you made by, who is it, Demi? Who did you say that man was, that about the truth?
Which statement?
Not John Huss, the one before John Huss.
That is none other than the secularist George Orwell that said the further society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it.
Right, and there was another man, I forgot his name, that she said that talked about the truth. People don't want to love the truth. They'd rather believe the lie than the truth. And, I don't know if you know this, but reports are coming out that Israel is bombing Iran with drones right now. They started it 2 days ago. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but there's reports coming out. People are reporting that they are bombing Iran right now with drones, Israel.
Good for them. They have okay, a wonderful, and another, wonderful.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Another thing is that the Bible code said that World War III, the global war, would begin when Russia bombs Kiev, Ukraine, which happened October 18th in 2022. Russia did missile and bomb Kiev, Ukraine. So officially the war began October 18, 2022, according to the Bible codes back then. Now we see it ramping up. Now we see Israel bombing Iran with drones, and it's going to a full escalation. And, Israel, God said, I give you this land. I'll give you this land, but you must keep my covenant of keeping my commandments, right? But they failed to do that, right? Israel failed to keep that covenant commandment with the Father, Yahuwah. So there's a remnant that is keeping Judah, the tribe of Judah, that is keeping the laws of God as God prescribed. But the rest of Israel, there's a lot of secular Israel that are just sodomites, devils. They do not believe in God whatsoever. So, we can see that unless they're going to come into full covenant with God, there's going to be problems in that land, and we can see there are day in and day out, right? So, there's probably people that are of Israeli descent that are in Palestine, in Lebanon. There's probably Israelites all over that land. I'm an Israelite per the Bible code. I'm from the tribe of Naphtali. I found that out. God revealed that to me by the Ruach of Yahuwah. So, it's all about revelation. And this war is coming, and we need to pray for God to have his way and for the people to prepare for what's to come. Prepare
Kevin,
your heart.
Kevin, let me jump in for just a moment. As you know, I disagree with what is called the Bible code, but notwithstanding with that, with all that you've said, I'm in pretty much agreement with it. One of the things that I would like to clarify for our understanding for the listeners today is that there is no ifs, ands, and buts, no suggestions in relationship to if you do this, if you do that, you can keep the land. God gave the land, and it was a gift to the nation of Israel, to the children of Israel, to the Jewish people. In fact, in the 15th verse of the 13th chapter of Genesis, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. He didn't say that's yours forever if you do this, if you do that. It is an unconditional covenant. The Abrahamic covenant is unconditional. There's no conditions to be met. God gave it to the apple of his eye, the Jewish people, unconditionally. It belongs to them. And yet we have president after president after president in the United States of America that keeps wanting to make a two-state solution. Blinken, that left his, his career of dancing to become Secretary of State, Blinken now is still trying to bring up the subject of the two-state solution, that is taking Jerusalem, dividing it, having a capital for the Palestinian jihadist and a capital for the Jewish people. East and West Jerusalem is what they want to do. And every president has attempted to do that, and it shall fail. Israel, Jerusalem, shall not be divided. We find in Joel and in other texts in Zechariah, we find that it's not going to take place, but yet there's that attempt to do so. So the point is, and let's tie up the little loose ends for what you've said and what I'm saying. As a result of Netanyahu saying, very definitively, by the way, I'm so thankful that he was reelected and is back in prime minister position. Benjamin Netanyahu just said to Blinken, the Secretary of State for the United States of America, he just said that we're going to do everything and anything in our power to prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons. Well, they already have nuclear weapons. Yeah. And Mossad has already determined that. That's the investigatory agency like the CIA for America. Mossad's already determined that. They know where the weapons are. They know the bunkers that they're in. And Israel has got one of the meanest military machines on the face of the earth. And that's because God has empowered them, and God's going to protect them. And so we see taking place today that Russia is angry with Israel because Israel is coming against the ally called Iran. Iran's the one that's furnishing much of the weaponry for Russia to use in the battle against Ukraine. And I say with you, though, we've come at it at two different journeys, but I believe that Ukraine is the spark of World War III without any question whatsoever, based on biblical analysis where we're going. It will rumble into the ultimate war with Russia, and the war with Russia then ultimately will rumble into what is called the Battle of Armageddon. So we're on the fast track. We are, of all generations, able to sit and see what God is doing eschatologically.
I thank God. I thank the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov that I was able to go to Israel in 2017, and you could feel the awe, the awesomeness, the awe of God there. It is truly His city. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. People are praying nonstop, studying the Word of God, the Jewish people, and it's an amazing city. Awesome. The awesomeness of God is there. And, you know, He promised Joshua, He said, look, take the land, Joshua. Take the land, and you got to fight for it. And what happened? They fought for it, but then they didn't fight for it because they didn't keep covenant. And the enemy was taking back the land, right? So we got to remember that, too. Yes, He did promise it to Abraham, but they had to fight and take it. In the same way, we got to fight and take our land today. We got to fight for our churches, for our freedoms, for our rights, for truth, for our nation. We got to fight. There's always a fight going on. And God, in Exodus 53, is the God of war. Yahuwah Sevoth is His name. God is a God of love and a God of war. We got to fight against the evil and take our land.
Yes, sir. We need to put on the whole armor of God and stand against the wickedness in high places, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following. And the scripture is very clear in the 13th verse of the Ephesians text, chapter 6, that once we put on the whole armor, that's the key to it, the shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, etc. When we put on the whole armor, then we're to stand. And the scripture says, having done all, stand. That means we don't run, we don't bow, we don't bend. We don't turn. We don't sit down. We stand. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8, that I have kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. It is a fight. The Christian life is a fight. And I believe that Christians need to understand that it's a battle each and every day. And it's a battle first and foremost for truth, to stand for truth. Kevin, thank you so much, brother, for your call. God bless you. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, Amen. we're talking about a subject today, the Middle East update. What's happening in Israel? Why is it taking place? What do we see taking place in relationship to the battle that's taking place to take the land? In fact, the battle, regardless of the peripheral issues that they talk about that's causing the battle against Israel, it's against Israel. And all of the Middle East, it's in a cauldron of stirring and of battle, and it's a battle over the land. And God gave the land to the nation of Israel. No ifs and ands and buts. No hypothetical. It's simply God gave the land. In fact, in Genesis chapter 13, we find that. Genesis chapter 15, we find it. Genesis chapter 17, it's repeated. Joshua chapter 1, it is repeated that God has given unconditionally the land to the nation of Israel. But yet we find the major battle today by the jihadist Islamics, the Jew Arab people, they're wanting to destroy the nation of Israel, and it's all about the land. Now, they can talk about oil, they can talk about the wheat imports and the needs for that, and that's peripheral part of what is causing some of the stir today, but the bottom line is, the sum total is that it's about the land. The Arab Islamic jihadists do not want the nation of Israel to exist, and that's what we see the stir. And now here's Russia being brought into the picture. And Russia, ultimately, according to Ezekiel 38:39, will lead a five-nation, Islamically controlled nations, against the nation of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue this lively conversation about the update in the Middle East right after the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.